the reading of the scripture.
I think we'll just go by my weather app. My weather app says no rain for another 120 minutes. So let's defer to mine and we'll be good. Okay, we are in Matthew 10. Matthew 10, verses 24 through 31. A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher, and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house a demon, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell it in the light, and what you have here whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him that can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. Even the hairs of your head are counted. So do not be afraid. You are more valuable than many sparrows. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, on Father's Day, I have to obligatorily open with a dad joke. And this is one that my dad told me many years ago when I was thinking about going in the military. And it went like this, as everybody was coming into the reception center, and there was a big guy, and he kept doing things like pushing on the pull doors and walking into the doorways and door frames. And everybody was just marveling at how big this guy could be and how clueless he could be. So they got him a uniform and they got him all through the shots and he got him out the other side, and they started to think, and they said, you know, I'm not so sure I want to give this guy a gun. It could be dangerous to us. So what they did is they gave him a shovel and they said, this is a special weapon. It'll help you dig the foxhole, and then you just turn it around, and if the people start running at you, you just go bangity, bangity, bang. And he says, and they said, you know, the guys around him will be shooting, and everybody will go down, and it'll be okay. He'll be fine. So this worked really well. He started digging foxholes, and he was really good at digging foxholes, so people were glad to have him there. And then one day, they dug the foxhole, and the people came over the top of the hill, and he started going bangity bang and people fell. Bangity bang and people fell. And then he realized the guy next to him was gone, and the guy next to him was gone, and there was one guy come over the top of the hill. And he was a big dude. Even bigger than him. And he said, bangity bang, bangity bang, bangity bang. Nothing happened. And the guy jumped over the top of the foxhole and just stomped him into the ground. He realized that guy doesn't have a gun either. And as he lay writhing on the ground, the guy ran away yelling, tankity, 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 tank. It's a dad joke. I can tell them now because I'm a dad. You know what it is? If you tell dad jokes and you're not a dad, you know what that is? You're a faux pas. All right. Got that out of the way. Okay. So one of the things that is amazing to me is becoming a parent. I really can't speak to becoming a mother, but I can now speak about becoming a father, because it is a bizarre transformation. You can no longer talk about him, but I'm not good at doing what I'm not supposed to do. But Bill Cosby had a TV show once upon a time that had some really good parenting advice in it before he went astray. But one of the things is his daughter was about to become a parent. And they said, you know, just understand, it's stressful. You don't have all the answers. It's kind of an ongoing process. You learn as you go. And she turned to her father and she says, oh, don't worry, Dad. We read the book. And he smiled. And he says, what book is that? And he picked up the book and showed him. And she says, Claire, come here. He says, all our worries were for nothing. They've read the book. And she starts cracking up and has to leave the kitchen. Because everybody who's made that transition and become a parent knows there ain't no book gonna help you. And that once you figure out the first kid, it doesn't help with the second one or the third one. Because they aren't alike. It is a learning as you go process. And when I became a father, it was a shock. Because there it is, this baby, who looks up you like you have the answers. And you know you don't. But the thing is God has placed you there to try. And I think that's one of the things that I think we lose sight of. Because there is not a dad here who hasn't looked back at something they did and went, man, that was stupid. I wish I could have taken that one back. And there are dads who think that they never did anything right. And see, both those are wrong. And one of the things that I want to tell you on this Father's Day is that what fathers want to hear from you. And one of the, some of the simple things are, I appreciate you tried. There were things that you did right, and I appreciate those. There are things that you did wrong. That's okay. It was nice just spending time with you. And the time we spent together made a difference. So, I appreciate what you did. I appreciate the things you did right. I forgive you for the things you did wrong. I like being with you. And that time together made a difference. I feel obliged to read some of these Father's Day things that are put out each year, because I think sometimes we forget that in a large way, the problems we have in this world are a dad problem. 75% of American children that live in a fatherless home will experience poverty before they become 30 years old. Only 20% of those raised by two parents will experience this. 70% of the prison population grew up without a father in the home. And this one is something from James Dobson's Focus on the Family, and I found this fascinating and horrifying at the same time. Clinical Institute Psychology wanted to do a study on the relationships with prostitutes and their fathers to see if that was the problem. And they could not find enough prostitutes who knew who their father was to even have a study. The absence of a father, mistakes and foolishness and really bad jokes and all, is a key for your future. The idea that we can make up for it in some way is a sad distraction from the fact. So what I want to encourage is that a dad in the home making mistakes, telling bad jokes, and asking your forgiveness is actually a blessing. Make a note of that, Joy. Because it's something that you just have to work with, because it's on the job training for both of you. Now, one of the things that I find fascinating is that sometimes, well, you've heard this story, haven't you? You're tormenting your dad. Your dad is at his last nerve, and he turns around and he says, "Someday I hope you have a kid that's just like you," which is a blessing and a curse, because there's a certain amount of truth to it, because you end up modeling your dad. Sometimes you model the way you wish he could have been. Sometimes you become what he wasn't just out of spite, but you become a reflection of your father in some way. Most of us come to that point where we are talking to our kids and words come out of our mouth that aren't ours. Our dad's words come out of our mouth without even thinking them. It's a stunning thing, and it just kind of stops you in your tracks. And you realize that many of the things that you were told actually had value, even though you didn't think so at the time. Brings me to the famous quote by Mark Twain. He said, "On my 14th birthday, I could no longer tolerate the stupidity of my father, and I ran away from home. Today, on my 21st birthday, it's miraculous how much that old man learned in just 7 years. Perspective changes things. And you see that frustration, that lashing out, that unharnessed rage and energy of being a teenage boy seems so irrational to you and seems so incongruent with the father that you're looking at. And by the time you become 21, 22, 23, 24, you will, "Oh, I know why he just smiled and shook his head. Because years ago, he stood in that same spot. And somehow we're transported back in time, realizing that our father wasn't always dad. That one day he was that boy too." And that is what I grasped as I was listening to the scripture. A disciple is not above the teacher, and a slave is not above a master. It's enough for the disciple to be like the teacher. You can be frustrated by it, and you can be horrified by it, but traits of your dad will come out in you. But what I want to speak to today as I close is this idea that we often get the idea of being a father wrong. Your job is not to show this is what a good and perfect father looks like. This is not what a good and perfect father does. This is not how a good and perfect father behaves. But you are supposed to reflect back to your model, Jesus. You're supposed to show a young man or a young woman that a normal adult person doesn't think they can do it all on their own. A normal adult knows they need to turn to Jesus. They know they need to reflect to Jesus. It's enough for the disciple to be like the teacher. The teacher is Jesus. We have to realize that as we make mistakes, what we need to do is to turn back to Jesus. I am going to
close with a prayer and an illustration from a country song that is a favorite of mine. Name of the song is I've Been Watching You. And it starts out, they're driving home from McDonald's. And the dad hits the brakes. The McDonald's lunch goes flying through the air. And then his four-year-old says a four-letter word that started with S. And I was concerned, so I asked, son, where'd you learn to talk like that? He said, I've been watching you. When dad gets home, he gets upset with himself and he walks into the barn and he starts talking to God. He says, what am I doing? What am I going to do? How is this going to work? Help me. Help myself. And later that night, he comes down the hall and his son gets down on his knees and starts talking to God like he's right there in the room. And he said, son, where'd you learn to pray like that? He said, I've been watching you. So your kids can learn from your mistakes. They can learn from the things you can do right. They're going to learn from time to time that there are pluses and minuses. That sometimes dads screw up. Sometimes you learn what not to do by the mistakes that your dad made. But there are images, there are reflections of Jesus that I hope you grab onto. This is a prayer for Father's Day written by Shirley Dobson. Heavenly Father, you're the standard. You're the one who is love itself. Thank you for revealing yourself through your word and by your spirit. We ask you this morning to be with those for whom this day is hard. Those who've lost a loving father. Be our comfort and reminder that it was your love behind that love that blessed us. That it was our dad's willingness to provide the sacrifice that you used to shepherd and guide us. For those who don't have a good memory of their father, wipe their tears and their wounds and remind them that you are the true father. And help them today to forgive so they can move forward. For those who don't have a good relationship with the Father, reveal them that you are sufficient, that your love is more than enough for them, and you have the resources to help them forgive. Where reconciliation is needed and possible, please give courage, strength, and vision. Where reconciliation is no longer possible, fill the gap with your ever-sufficient mercy, grace, and love. For those of us who are fathers, let us be reminded of the whole responsibility that we have to reflect your love and character, and give us your reserves, resources, and vision so that we can direct our children, direct them to your throne and your love. Each of us as dad has failed in certain ways. We are human. So remind us that you stand ready to forgive the repentant and to embrace us once again. And Father, lead us into a deeper love and sacrifice. I ask you, God, that there be much joy on this day, even unexpected joy, in the relationships that fathers can celebrate with our children, whether biological, spiritual, step-in-law, adopted, foster, or mentoring influence. You have made it available, and we give you joy. We thank you, Lord, not because this day is to celebrate us, because we think about your fathering. You have not left us without an example, and you do not leave us unequipped to be the dads you call us to be. We thank you, Lord, because fathering is really important. Heavenly Father, you are the standard, the one who is love. In the name of Jesus, who first called you Father, we lift up this prayer. Amen.